Okay, good evening, council. Ms. Julie, could you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Onslow?
Here.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Unmute, please.
I'm here.
Councilmember Wells?
Here.
Councilmember Akeley?
Here.
Councilmember Lindsay? Councilmember Day?
Here.
Mayor Stos?
Here. Mr. Stewart, are there any late changes to the agenda?
No late changes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Well, moving to the consent agenda, I would accept a motion.
This is Ron Onslow. I move to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Sandra Day, second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to accept the consent agenda as presented. Any questions, council? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. Thank you, council. Move into first order of business, the second reading of ordinance number 1319, the adoption of a credit against state sales and use tax for affordable housing in the city of Ridgefield. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. I just want to make sure everyone can hear me. We had some issues last week. Good? Okay, so what we're doing tonight is second reading of the ordinance to consider the sales tax credit for affordable housing. Just a little bit of background for Council and for our residents who may be listening in for the first time. During the 2019 regular legislative session, the legislature did approve SHB 1406, which created a sales and use tax and revenue sharing program for local investment in affordable housing. And what that does is it allows the city or county to impose the local sales and use tax for acquisition, construction, or rehabilitation of affordable housing or facilities that support affordable housing, and the operations and maintenance for the affordable or supportive housing as well. For cities like us that are under 100,000 in population, you can also provide rental assistance to tenants. The sales and use tax is credited against the state sales portion of sales tax that's collected in the city limits of Ridgefield. So there would be no increase to the current sales tax rate that's charged in the city. The tax must be used to assist persons whose income is at or below 60% of the city median income, which is approximately 56,000 according to the latest numbers through the Census Bureau. For this, we have two steps to go ahead and consider this. The first one was to adopt a resolution of intent to pass an ordinance for the sales tax. The City Council did that on December 19th, 2019 with resolution number 567. The second portion of that is to adopt the ordinance by July 27th, 2020 adopt the sales tax or impose the sales tax and the credit against the state portion of sales tax collected. One question that did come up was if we chose not to adopt the ordinance tonight and we missed the deadline of July 27, could we come back at a later date, say a year from now, and impose it at that time? And we would not be able to do that. The way the legislation is written is that it has to be approved by July 27th. It goes into effect for 20 years, and there is no chance to come back. So really, by looking at this ordinance, this is our option to determine whether the city wants to have the funds funnel through the city and determine what we want to do with the funding source, or do we want it to go to the county, and then the county council would be the one who would determine how the funding source would be used. We're not asking council tonight to determine how to use the funds or whether there's projects or anything like that, strictly to, we want the funding source, we want to adopt the ordinance so the funding comes through the city, so we have a say in how it is used, whether it's just locally with projects we do or whether it's regionally. It's up to council to determine, do we want control or do we want to let that flow through to the county and allow them to use it how they see fit. With that, there's really no other information to provide. If you have questions, I would be open to answering those at this time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Councilor Day, would you like to weigh in on this?
I have no questions right now.
Thank you. Councilor Onslow?
I'm good, I'm for it.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Zimmer?
No questions, thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Wells?
No problem, no question.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Lindsay?
No, I don't have any questions, thank you.
Thank you. And Councilor Akeley?
I do not have any questions.
Thank you. Ms. Dooley?
And Mr. Mayor, let me add one more thing that I didn't mention was the dollar amount that we could get, and that was estimated by MRSC. And on a annual basis, it's estimated that the city would bring in about $22,000, slightly over depending on sales in the city limits. Over the 20 years, it'd be about $440,000 is the estimate based on 2019 numbers.
Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Julie, could you please read the ordinance into the record?
Ordinance number 1319, ordinance of the City of Richland, Washington, imposing the local sales and use tax authorized under laws of 2019, Chapter 338, House Bill 1406, to be used for the affordable housing and related purposes set forth therein, and providing for other matters properly relating thereto.
Thank you. I would accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor, this is Rob Akeley. I move to adopt ordinance number 1319 as presented.
This is Jennifer Lindsay, I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt ordinance number 1319 as presented. Ms. Julie, could you please call the roll?
Councilmember Onslow?
Aye.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Aye.
Councilmember Wells?
Aye.
Councilmember Akeley?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindsay?
Aye.
Councilmember Day?
Aye.
Mayor Stoss?
Aye. It passes. Thank you, Council. Councilors, do any of you want to make any further comments on this ordinance?
I know this is Councilor Sandra Day. We had discussed several ways to allocate it when the money did come in. And right now, I think we should just receive it and wait and see what programs would become available and not make any decisions at this moment to move ahead with a definite program until we know more about how we might could use it to help with housing.
Thank you, Counselor. Anyone else? I would just like to say that this would be a great opportunity to potentially partner with Habitat for Humanity. They are looking to come to Ridgefield and help rehabilitate some low-income housing, and this would be a great opportunity to do that. So just food for thought for the future. Moving on to our second order of business, second reading of ordinance number 1320, approval of Parks Capital Facilities Plan. Mr. Cast.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, Council and citizens. So before you this evening is a second reading of the 2020 Parks and Recreation Capital Facilities Plan. This is the second step in the adoption of our 2020 overall Parks Comprehensive Plan and is an update to our 2014 plan. If you recall, earlier this year, you adopted separately the Parks Capital Parks Comprehensive Plan, and the Parks Capital Facilities Plan is the mechanism for which we fund the projects that were identified in the Comprehensive Plan. There's sort of four steps to the process here. So when you begin, you look at your inventory, and since the 2014 plan was adopted, our inventory had changed. We added quite a few park facilities. So those were removed. If they were on the list in 2014 and they were complete, they were removed. We also, through public engagement, found some additional needs. So those were added to the list. And then we also looked at growth projection to determine what our needs are for the next 6 years of our parks program. From that, a project list was developed. And then the PIF rate is calculated. And if you recall, last time we talked about, there were sort of two ways that were, two methods that were used to look at the PIF rate. The first is a standards-based approach. So that essentially takes a look at the facilities that you have on the ground currently. And if you recall back in 2014 when we did this exercise, based on our standards, we were actually had a deficit in several different areas. And over the last 6 years, we've been able to add park facilities, and currently we don't have a deficit. We're right where we should be. But we then look at the projected growth over the next 6 years to determine how much additional parks needs we will need to be able to maintain our standards of service, and you know, how much parks basically have to be added so that we are able to keep up with that growth. So again, this standards-based approach looks at the projected growth, and then it also looks at the cost for those facilities on a very general basis. So, you know, if it says, you know, we need so many soccer fields and each soccer field costs so many dollars, and then it applies that for all the other types of facilities as well, neighborhood parks, community parks. So that was one method, and that's sort of just, in my mind, sort of a sanity check to make sure that when you do the more detailed approach, you're in the right ballpark and your project list is, you know, is where it should be to support that growth. The second way is based on the specific park improvements, as known as the improvement-based approach, and basically that takes a look at all the projects that you have on the capital facilities plan. It then removes the projects that are ineligible because they're not growth related, for example, ADA improvements or other improvements at existing parks. And then based on the growth related projects, divides that out based on our growth projections to come up with the PIF, projected PIF rate. So those two different approaches, the standard-based approach calculated out $3,491 per residential unit. The improvement-based approach was $3,271, so just a couple hundred dollars less. Our current rate is, shoot, I lost my spot here. Our current PIF rate is $3,271, excuse me, and the improvement-based approach was $3,336. So you have existing rates, you go up about $150. That's what our improvement-based approach calculated we should be at. And then another couple hundred on top of that was where the standards-based approach suggested that we be. Staff's recommendation is to follow the improvement-based approach and to establish the new PIF rate at $3,336. And attached to your packets, and Mr. Stewart's pulling it up here, is a graph showing how our park impact fees have changed over the last 5 years. If council recalls, back in 2015, we established a policy for not only our park impact fees, but other impact fees as well, to index those so that they grow with an inflationary rate and sort of keep up with inflation rather than having to make you know, larger changes less frequently. Steve, on my screen, it's a little zoomed in. Is it able to zoom out a tiny bit?
Let's find out.
And so the inflationary index began in 2015.
How's that?
And so let me see here. So between 2015 and 2016, there was an increase of 1.3%. Then we went up 1.7% in 2017, 4.4% in 2018, 3.6% in 2019, and then 2.7% this at the beginning of this year in 2020. And also attached to your packet, and we covered this last time as well, but there is a comparison of our existing and projected park impact fee rates compared to other jurisdictions in the counties. We are right around mid-pack with both the projected and the current rate. With that, I would be happy to answer any questions the council has.
Thank you. Councillor Day, any questions of Mr. Cast?
Yes, I do, Mayor. So staff is recommending the improvements based instead of the standards. Is it because of the increase or the status of we have no deficits?
I would say that it's just a more accurate and detailed way to calculate the fee. The standards-based approach is very general, and it's looking at, you know, very average costs of facilities, and the improvement-based approach gets a little bit more specific as to what the projects are that are actually on the list and, you know, the actual costs specifically for those projects. It's my feeling that it's just a little bit more accurate way to calculate the needs over the next 6 years.
Thank you.
Councillor Onslow.
I disagree with that, and I would support the standard-based approach because it's 6 years we haven't had, other than the index, we haven't had an increase in those parks fees. And I think we should continue to move forward with that. And so I would support the standard-based approach.
Thank you. Councillor Zimmer?
No questions. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Wells?
Yes. I would support the 50 index that we presently have on books.
Thank you. Councillor Lindsay?
Sorry about that, I had to unmute. I am leaning more towards the standards approach because I'm looking at the list for the 6 year capital facilities plan. And if I counted right, I think there are 5 park acquisitions that are on the list. And I'm concerned that I want to make sure that we have enough funds to purchase the land for these parks. And the way that the land prices are going in Ridgefield, I want to make sure we have the space available for people as they move here and we have the funds to purchase the property. So I am more in favor of the standard based approach.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Akeley.
Yes, I'm in favor of the standard based approach. It's a little bit more money. But when you do projects like this, there's always unknowns that jump out and cost a little bit more money. And I agree with Councillor Onslow about the fact that the increase has not been very much over the years. And this increase isn't very much either. And so I would go with the standard-based approach.
Thank you. Ms. Julie, would you read the ordinance into the record, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 1320, ordinance of the City of Richland, Washington, adopting amendments to the city's parks capital facilities plan.
Thank you. I would accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor, Ron Onslow, I move to adopt ordinance number 1320 with a standard-based approach as presented.
This is Jennifer Lindsay. I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt ordinance number 1320 with the standard-based approach as presented. Ms. Julie, could you call the roll?
Councilmember Onslow?
Aye.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Aye.
Councilmember Wells?
I can count the votes. No.
Councilmember Akeley?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindsay?
Aye.
Councilmember Day?
Aye.
Mayor Stos?
Aye. Passes. Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
We'll move on to Council reports. Councilor Day.
It's been a rather quiet week. I really missed 4th of July, but I did spend considerable computer time on Big Paddle with reconnecting with all of our donors. And the odd thing is this year, we've achieved a higher donation rate than we ever have in past years, even knowing that it won't be the same. So I'm really impressed with our local businesses that are willing to step forward and support whatever city and port event and our other partners. So it was very exciting to hear that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Onslow.
Participated in the AWC Board of Directors meeting a week ago Friday, and it was very difficult with the Zoom thing, and it got kind of convoluted with a lot of different amendments, and so I didn't like it. It's much better when we're in person. I attended also by Zoom the RTC, and I just sent out a report to our mayor and manager, and then the Le Center and Battleground Yakult. And the most interesting thing was the bridge that is the Hood River White Salmon Bridge. They are almost complete with their design. They figure it'll cost $348 million. A couple of interesting things on that bridge is they would put in 10 stanchions to hold the bridge, and at this point in time, there are 21. So they would reduce it significantly. The roadway itself, handling all kinds of truck traffic, is 9 feet wide at this point in time, and that would change considerably. And there would be also, there is no walkway or bicycle path, and they would be putting a 12-foot bicycle path and walkway on the side of it, and two new roundabouts to handle the traffic. So the White Salmon area, they've gotten together. They said that they had, in the beginning, they had a lot of consternation between White Salmon and, what's the other one, the Hood River. But because of the bridge, they're all sitting down together and talking out their differences, and they've been quite successful at that. The other thing is the 4th of July, that was very difficult to not have our celebration. I went with my wife, and we went to all the developments in Ridgefield, and she gave out awards to the best decorated area, and we also had a truck from Ardu that handed out or threw out lots of potato chips and potatoes based on the sputters. So that was really a lot of fun, and everybody had a good time doing that, but it isn't near what we really are about. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilor Zimmer.
Well, it was a little bit quiet, other than I spent most of the last 2 weeks working on the Boosters fireworks stand. I was kind of in charge of that. My kids are seniors next year. There were lots of fireworks sales. We had 3 shipments come in, only probably a third of the last shipment on 4th of July morning came in that was ordered, and everything was sold out by like 1:30 or 2, which was nice because then I could go hang out with my family and I didn't have to spend another night there. But but yeah, 4th of July was definitely different this year, but I think it sounded like from talking to other community members, people spend a lot of time with their families and, you know, smaller, you know, barbecues and boating or whatnot. And lots of campers out there a little on the river, and so it was still 4th of July, but just not like normal.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Wells.
Yeah. I did partake in the Battle of the Neighborhoods on the evening of 4th, but there were fortunate no casualties after hundreds of mortars were fired, I think, at each other, but back and forth. But I think the community, as was discussed prior to the death, they really supported the fireworks stand. People seem to adhere to the rule for the 4th itself, pretty much so. And I think when we put that ordinance together, or resolution together, whatever, everybody was a little apprehensive of it, but it may be the new norm, or it is the new norm. And at least gives everybody an opportunity to turn around and have an activity that they want, but is limited so it doesn't affect everybody days on end. That's it.
Thank you. Councilor Lindsay.
Hi. So I attended the Association of Washington City's Legislative Priorities Committee. It was a Zoom call. That was yesterday. That is the committee that gets together to try to come up with 4 or 5 priorities that can be agreed upon by all the cities in Washington. And there's been a lot of talk about infrastructure, transportation, and urban renewal. Those type of topics seem to be hot priorities, including broadband. Looks like that's going to be making the cut. Culverts are still hanging around. And there's talk about like criminal justice reform, and is that going to be statewide reform? Is that going to be countywide or citywide sponsored? How that's all going to work? And then a little bit of information that also came out regarding the special session. Sounds like there's not going to be one in the summer. And it looks like the House is talking about doing a special session in November after the election. So we might have to wait a little bit longer to find out about some of our projects and funding and things that we have on the books. So that is all I have.
Thank you. Councilor Akeley.
I participated in one more volunteer work party at the wetlands up at the Ridgefield Middle School. I met with the Watershed Alliance and walked the project out there at the wetlands, and wanted to find out if it was done to their satisfaction and if things were looking good, or if there's any more that needed to be done. And Sunrise said everything was looking really good, and now the area in about 4 months will be planting about 3,000 native plants. So not much will happen up there, except maybe some periodic, weeding here and there, but.
All right, thank you very much. And real quickly from me, we had some great news today. We heard from the YMCA, and we are moving forward with the YMCA in Ridgefield. And so it's the YMCA is on board, the developer is on board, City of Ridgefield's on board, and our next step will be to sign a memorandum of understanding with all three parties as soon as we can draft that and get it ready to go. But we're moving forward. It's awesome. So with that, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and community listening in. Just a couple of quick things. First of all, thank you to the council and to the community for the 4th of July, and certainly all the staff that put in work to create a virtual 4th of July along with the 4th of July committee. It was obviously a very strange circumstance. We are living in very, the old adage, may you live in interesting times, as a curse, certainly has some applicability. But for all of that, that we got great feedback from our partners, from our businesses, from our residents who were part of the 4th of July celebration in this virtual manner. So thanks to everybody who helped put that together and helped implement it. And to all of our residents for helping to be vigilant in exercising discretion and being true to that single day of discharge. For the vast majority, we had very good compliance. We did receive some comments from residents that you have seen that they have been emailed to you. And so that you have them. There were a number of residents who did want to express their concerns with continued firework discharge in Ridgefield. So we did provide you that information. And certainly as we move forward with conversations about fireworks, commercial fireworks stands and the rules associated with that, there will be further, we can have further conversation about fireworks. But wanted to make sure that you were aware of what was put in your packet for those, and I'm sure you all were, and that the people who put those things together, the letters together, they know that you did get them and read them, because I know you did. The second thing I wanted to talk through briefly is just an update on COVID in Clark County. Unfortunately, we're not going in a great direction right now with regards to case count. There are now 1,090 positive cases in Clark County. There are 31 deaths. That's two new deaths since over the past 4 or 5 days. One of the most troubling is that the last death is a young man in his 30s with no comorbidity or pre-existing conditions. So that's troubling, because that's, the idea that somehow this is just serious for those in vulnerable populations, it's not 100% true. The percentage of positive tests are going up. So the increase in number of cases is not simply an increase in the number of tests that have been done. It's actually also an increase in the number of positive tests. So the percentage of positive tests has been increasing. We are in phase two. Everybody's in phase two in the state of Washington until at least July 16th. What we are looking for is an average of 9 cases per day on a rolling 14-day time frame in Clark County. Currently, we're up over 20. So we're not in great shape right now. Thus, the words that our public health officials have been putting out there, and I know that you all have been working through as well and talking with people about, is physical distancing and wearing facial coverings are our best defense at this point. They will give us the ability to not only stay out, but to be able to do more when we go out. So I appreciate all the council's words to our residents, and we're going to be working with the council on a campaign to help positively promote mask wearing and give people, give some kudos for people doing the right thing and wearing some fun masks out there. So there'll be more about that coming next week. The last thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned was that you all received a letter on July 3rd of this year from the Southwest Washington League of United Latin American Citizens, Council 47013, LULAC. That letter was penned to the mayors and council members and county council members of all of the Southwest Washington cities and the county. And the request was to formally declare racism a public health crisis. There's a lot of information in the letter. This letter is not unique to Clark County. A similar request has been made in cities and counties all over the country. There are cities and counties taking this requested action. In the state of Washington, more specifically, both King County and Pierce County public health agencies have taken action on this request to look into the data, to be able to further evaluate the data that are there showing a health discrepancy based on race, and really digging into the data to find out more about what is it, what does it mean, and what are some ideas about how we might be able to address it. So there have been conversations between the cities who have received the request in Clark County about how we might be able to, in a collaborative fashion, move forward on something. The idea that was presented was to have a letter from all of the mayors of the cities go to the Clark County Board of Health and to the Washington Department of Health, asking that they consider this request and that they use the data at their disposal and the expertise that they have in public health to really evaluate this public health crisis and really look at the ways, the ideas, the plans and policies that might be implemented to help address health discrepancies based on race. So that is the request that city managers across the county are going to be making, and that I am asking this evening is for your approval as a council for me to help draft a letter that would go from the mayors to the county board of health and to the secretary of health, the Washington secretary of health, to have them, number one, recognize the issue and evaluate the data on how those discrepancies occur, and number two, really dig into ideas for how to address the healthcare discrepancies that we see that are based on systemic racism. So I'm happy to answer any questions you'd have. Like I said, I'm looking for just a go ahead or not on being able to draft a letter on those two points that would and giving the authority to the mayor to sign on behalf of the council.
Councilor Day?
I believe this is the right thing to do, and I support it wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Councilor Onslow?
I concur.
Okay. Councilor Zimmer?
I also concur. Will we be reading that letter before it's sent, or will you send that out to council?
Absolutely, Councilor.
Awesome. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Pro Tem Wells?
I wholeheartedly agree.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Lindsay?
I agree as well. It's a great idea.
Okay. Councilor Akeley?
I also agree.
Okay, thank you. And I agree as well. So we'll move forward. Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Cast, any further observations?
Nothing else for you this evening, but thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Lust?
I have nothing else for you this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for joining us. Ms. Montanaris?
She's not with us this evening.
Oh, okay. All right. Mr. Johnson?
I have nothing else unless there's any questions.
Okay. Thank you. And Lieutenant Doria?
I have nothing unless there's questions for me.
All right. Thanks for joining us this evening. With that, Council, we are adjourned.